Shloshes yimei hagbala. Okay? The 3 days, or according to Chachamim, 2 days. We say 3 days, Shloshes yimei hagbala, but it's actually a machlokes of Chachamim and Rav Yossi. Chachamim hold it's 2 days of hagbala. But the Shloshes yimei hagbala, as we have it, there's something very ironic about it. What's ironic about it is that the nature of Shloshes yimei hagbala during the time of Matan Torah primarily surrounded around the concept of Yira, surrounded around the concept of being magbil ourselves, ossering on ourselves, in Yonei Ishus, in Yonei Tara, but it was also specifically being magbil the Har Sinai, and the Avira of both Shloshes Yimei Hagbala and of Matan Torah itself was one of tremendous Yira. The halachas, the ways that the Shloshes Yimei Hagbala expresses themselves nowadays is primarily in terms of Isra Avelus, in terms of not saying Tachanun, that's in terms of the preparation for Matan Torah itself, and then the Tkufa of Matan Torah itself is ironically the one Yontif which we agree that it at least has some Lachem, some aspect of Lachem. And it seems like the way we celebrate, or the way we commemorate, return to, we'll mention that in a second, Shloshes Yimei Hagbala and Matan Torah is not parallel to the Avira of Matan Torah itself at all. And it seems like we've shifted from a perspective of Yira to a perspective of Ava. And with that introduction, and to try to understand why, I want to try to walk a little bit into the avoda of both the Hagbala, the preparation for Matan Torah, and Shavuot itself, the avoda of Matan Torah itself. I can start with a little bit of a pre-Hakadama to, in general, our perspective as we walk into avoda, so to speak, an avoda of a time period. So we all know the famous Mechtav Meliyahu, who talks and describes in the metaphor of the train that the concept of Zman Matan Torahtenu, the concept of Zman Chirutenu, is that in a certain segula sense, mitzad the Kadosh Baruch Hu, mitzad the Mazalos, mitzad the Tkufa, we return to a time where we have the same segula. And that what makes this man Matan Torahtenu is that it's a time which is miyuad and miyuchad for Kabbalah. I want to try to take, not to reject that approach, but take a slightly different approach also, which I think we've mentioned before, but which I think is evident in the general mahalach of the Rambam in terms of Kedusha. I'll say it very quickly, is that both Kedushas HaMakom and Kedushas HaZman are not necessarily unique in terms of their segula or in terms of their shechina, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shechina does not change. But rather, it's different in terms of our avoda and our focus. And this is very appropriate for the Rambam, or for the Ramchal, for that matter, in the sense, and we'll get back to this when we actually get into the avoda, in the sense that that while Torah certainly is something which is an avoda, which we're, and Kabbalah Satorah itself is something which we encourage and experience constantly. We know the Rav certainly had the approach that every time that we enter into a Kriya Satorah on Shabbos, on Yom Sheni, on Yom Chamishi, there's some sort of reenactment of a Matan Torah, of our Kabbalah Satorah. And certainly for anyone present in a formal type of yeshiva setting, the concept of Kabbalah Satorah is a concept which is on us constantly. So in the same way that when we walk into the Yom Narayim, we always ask the question, like, what does it mean to be Osek in Tshuva? Tshuva is a Chiyuv to Midis. Kabbalah Satorah and the Avira, the atmosphere of a Kabbalah Satorah, is a constant Chiyuv. So what's unique about this Avoda? So as a general klal, when we walk into a Zman, what's unique about let's say, a time of Matan Torah is not the fact that we're Osek in Kabbalah Satorah. It's the fact that we're only Osek in Kabbalah Satorah. Meaning, in general, we acknowledge the fact that in general we have a complex avodah. In general, we are balancing and we are dealing with both Kabbalah Satorah and with Tshuva and with Tefillah and with Hodah and Israel. And there's a complex avodah which we are constantly trying to juggle. When you come to a Kedushas HaMakom is a concept of pushing everything else aside and having Yira for that specific avodah and nothing else. There's nothing else right now which you are focusing on. The same thing is true with Kedushas HaZman. When we say Kedushas HaZman, it means this is a Zman which is miyuchad for me to focus totally and completely on this one avodah. And it takes complete priority over everything else. And with this, I want to start walking into now the avodah of pre-Matan Torah and Matan Torah in our day, or Kabbalah Satorah in our day. I'm going to start with the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the famous Gemara of the story of Tanur Shel Achnai, okay, which we're not going to go into the story so much, but Tanur Shel Achnai, where Rabbi Elazar is arguing with the Chachamim about this specific Tanur. Now, in the case, there are three proofs, three Eidos, which he tries to bring to his tzidkus, to the fact that he's correct. Okay? First thing he says, if I am right, then the Charum, this carob tree, okay, will prove it to me. And he goes on, and after that, he turns around, and the Charum is uprooted and goes flying. And following that, the next Raya, the next Eidos, which he tries to bring, is from the Mayim, from the river behind him. And he says, this river will be for me, the Mayim will be for me, a Raya, an Eidos. And the Mayim starts flowing the other direction. And finally, the third is Kotle Abeis Medrash. So, there are many who deal with the question of why these three things, why specifically a Charuv, Mayim, and Kotle Abeis Medrash, and I want to give my own explanation. And the truth is, we're going to focus on one of them. Okay, we'll quickly go through the Mayim and the Kotle Abeis Medrash. So the Mayim, say there's a prerequisite. The Mayim, which we know, is Nimshol to Torah, specifically Chazal say in the sense of the Anava, in the sense of the humility, I want the Mayim to come and be made on my Zechus for the fact that I was Rayu for Torah and that I had that prerequisite of Anava involved in Torah. And Torah requires Anava because, again, obviously there's a word for another time of how we're Kone Torah, but at its foremost in the aspect of Nasev Anishma, of accepting Torah upon ourselves, there's a certain humility which is involved of looking to see what Torah wants to tell us and not just how we interpret Torah, but being mevatel ourselves to what is Torah trying to teach us. And therefore he turns to the Mayim saying, be made on me, be a witness for me that I am roi for psak, because I'm appropriate in terms of anava. The second, again, not in order, I'm going to get to the charuv, to the first example, because that's going to be the ikar of what we're going to deal with. The other is kot le'a beis medrash. He says, kot le'a beis medrash should be made on me, because a prerequisite of Torah is a melus in Torah. Lo yaga, someone who says matzata velo yagata al tamin. No matter how much yidiyas haTorah you have, even if you're sitting there and you are a walking Bar Ilan CD, if it didn't come from yidiyah, then you don't have the koach hapsak, and you don't have the koach haemes. And therefore comes, he says, be made on me, kotlei beis medrash, you be made on my amelus haTorah, that I did put in the effort, that I was there, that I was there kavua, that I was there constantly. And now what I want to deal with is the third. The charuv. The carob tree. The message of the carob tree. The message of the carob tree is a very poshut message. The carob tree is miyuchad in the sense that Chazal say that the carob tree does not give peros for 70 years. 70 years from the time you plant it is when it gives peros. Which means you never get to see the peros. You are not planting a charuv. No one is planting a charuv so that they can pick the fruit and get the hana of the charuv. The only way to plant a charuv is if you have two ingredients. The first is, number one, the tremendous amount of bitachon. A tremendous amount of bitachon that what you plant now is going to be valuable 70 years from now. That the chelka of aretz, of land that you're sitting on, is going to be valuable 70 years from now. That's number one, which we'll get to. Number two about the charuv is that you are not planting it for your hana ba'olam hazeh. You are planting it for your children, for the generations, or for the intrinsic value of the tov of planting a charuv for those that come after, for that which comes after. There's one crucial yesod in Torah, and it's expressed in Das Genim, in the famous mashal, or the famous phrase, in Parshas Re'eh, that the yesod of Torah is a perspective of delayed gratification. Is the concept that a person can stand there with two drachim in front of him. One is straight and easy and well-trodden, but maybe thorny a little bit down the road. And the other may be thorny at the beginning, but the peros afterwards are very rich, and the path afterwards is straight and soft. And the concept of Torah is that with all of its sweetness and with all of its darchei noam, ultimately a kinyan haTorah is dependent on a person being able to say, it's not for my immediate hana right now. This is not coming against the Eglei Tal to say that we're not supposed to have a hana haTorah, or the Torah is not supposed to be misameach. It is supposed to be misameach. But in order to be mekabel Torah upon ourselves, in order to be mevatel ourselves to Torah, we have to develop a perspective of a charuv which says, I'm not doing it for my hana now. I'm doing it out of a tremendous koach of both bitachon for the future, bitachon that what I'm dealing with now has tremendous essential value for the future, has intrinsic value, number one, and number two, because I have a long-term perspective. Torah is about knowing about the nitzchius, knowing about the long-term and not just the short-term. And with that, let's walk back to the reason why there's a difference between Matan Torah at Har Sinai and Matan Torah and Shlosh Yimei Hagbala today. At the time of Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is establishing for us this concept of delayed gratification of Be'emet, When we say Sham Tiek V'roschem, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will drop the mountain on us. He's telling us about the Nitzchios. He's saying, this is what ultimate Chaim is. Yira is about understanding the future, is understanding the necessity of Torah, is about understanding the chashivos of Torah, is about understanding the ultimateness of Torah. And in order for Am Yisrael to appreciate that, they needed Shlosh Magbala. They had to be, do not run up to the har out of the tremendous passion of meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because your ultimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come from waiting and stopping and not being passionate about the experience of listening to God, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for these 10 minutes, these 15 minutes, but waiting and being mekabel the Torah for the future. And Klal Yisrael, it was the ultimate marshmallow test, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechayev us and says, I'm going to give you a point of ecstasy, and I'm going to tell you, don't grab it. Stay back. Wait and listen. Because this is what ultimate Chaim is all about. That is the message of the Haruv. So now we step back and we ask the question, Aval Harei, why don't we do that now? So then why is our Matan Torah not about, why is our Shlosh Yimei Agbala not about Yira, not about delayed gratification? Why is it not days of Tanis? Why is Shavuos a day which has to have Lachem, a day which has to have Ana, a day which seems to be the failure of the marshmallow test? And here we walk into the Teva of Adam and understand what the concept, what a concept of Mitov Shelo Lishma Balishma is. Okay? I'm going to try to keep this. We can walk into the science another time. Okay? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in such a way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in such a way. Well, for simplicity's sake, we'll call it the limbic system. But that we react with our lev to immediate repercussions and not to delayed gratification. When we react, we don't react to the future, to the Netzach. We react to now. And that's why we have the absurdity sometimes as Bnei Adam, that sometimes we can stand there and we can be sitting there and have a Hanoi in front of us and know for ourselves, that this is going to be, this can have a terrible repercussion if I fail at it. I can be sitting there with a Nisayon and a Yetzer. And the Nisayon can be sitting there in terms of the computer, it can be in terms of Bittul Torah. And we're not talking about reacting and not thinking. I can be sitting there and saying, I know that I'm going to regret this. I know that the Hana, which I'm going to have from the Bittul Torah, or from sitting and going online, or from doing this, or from eating this, or from cheating on my diet, I know I'm going to regret this. It makes no sense that I should fail and I should have delayed gratification. Sometimes we assume that the reason why we don't make decisions from the Seichel is a chisaron and emuna. That if we really believed in Olam Haba, then we would be able to overcome our Yitzarim, or we'd be able to have self-control. But science tells us that that's not true. There are lots of things which we 100% believe in. We know that we are going to regret what we're doing. We know 100% that if we fail this test, we're going to regret it. And nonetheless, it makes no sense. I'm being drawn by it. I know that the Hana, that me spending these $20, these $100, is going to put a tremendous tax on me. And it's going to be tremendously difficult for me. But nonetheless, I'm drawn to do it. I have total emuna in the Nitzchios. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu still created us in such a way that the Yetzer for the current Hanah is stronger. Is not going to say is stronger, but puts up a fight. And that we are not always logical, even when we do think. And it's because of this that the Alter of Kelm said that as much as we are Bnei Sechel, we have to realize we also are creatures of habit. And our job is not to rely on being constantly mindful, constantly mindful, constantly mindful. It's that we grab those moments of mindfulness and we create habits. Or in our situation, and understand this is going to be a new explanation of Mitol Shalol Lishma Balishma. It's different than the Michtav Eliyahu. Not that he disagrees with him. But that our responsibility is to say, what I want to do is I want to do for Nitzchios. But I know I'm a Ben Adam. So let me give myself some sort of minor, but some sort of hanah, immediate gratification, just to fight with the ridiculous gratification. Why is it that a person who can be sitting there, and to give an example from a different science, why is it that a person who knows that if he skips his medicine, and it's an uncomfortable medicine, that he'll be sicker, but nonetheless, he'll sometimes skip his medicine, even though he knows it might make him sicker. But if you give the same medicine, but you make it sweeter, or you give yourself a certain prize for kvius, that if you manage to take your medicine every day for the next week, then at the end, you allow yourself to splurge on something. Somehow, you're more successful, even though it makes no sense, because you know that the pain of not taking the medicine in the long run is far more significant than the hanah of whatever you're going to splurge on at the end of the week. But this is the way that you outsmart your limbic system. This is the way you outsmart your sense of gratification. And you say, let me trick myself, let me give myself some form of small lo lishma to outlast, to outfight the lo lishma, ridiculous gratification of the Yetzer, which is momentary and fleeting, so that I can actually manage to be nitzchi. This is our current avoda of Shloshes Yimei Hagbala. Our current avoda of Shloshes Yimei Hagbala is to say, let me walk in to Shavuos and find the simcha to associate, even though ultimately Torah is, it's not that ultimately Torah is yira, but ultimately Torah is about ultimate chayim. It's about ultimate good. It's about the keren kayemes l'olam haba, even when there is also peros in olam hazeh. But it's about the Keren Kayemes L'Olam Haba. But nonetheless, I stop during these 2 days or these 3 days beforehand, and I remind myself of Simchas HaTorah. And I say, with the Koshi and the Yetzer and the difficulty, let me put in the Hanas HaTorah. And let me reward myself. Let me reward myself with lachem. And yes, Shavuos, there should be cheesecake when you stay up all night. And there should be a lachem, and there should be certain aspects of focusing on the simcha and hanas hatorah. With the realization that that will enable us, that will be a helping hand to give us, to bring us to the Nitzchios. And in our door, the avoda of Simcha is, of course, to acknowledge the ultimate Tov and Simcha of Torah. But we celebrate it with immediate Simcha also, and immediate Hana also. We play with ourselves. We're mechanech ourselves. In the same way we would be mechanech a child. We're mechanech ourselves. I'm going to add one more piece. One more piece of how we overcome besides our, we don't only have Gashmi Hanas. Okay? Especially at a certain age, we gain Hanas from other things more than even the Gashmias. Enabling ourselves to have passion. Passion is also a certain Hana. And sometimes, like I said, in general, our avoda is to juggle. Is to juggle the complexity of Torah, to juggle the Bein Adam L'Chavero and the Bein Adam L'Makom, and the involvement in being Mekadesh the Gashmios, and being involved in Kula Ruchnios, and involved in Tshuva, and Midos, and doing this juggling act is our constant avoda. But it puts a tremendous challenge on passion, on singularly focused passion. As we walk into Shavuos, one of the messages of Shavuos is the singularly focused passion. And the singularly focused passion of the fact that we push everything else aside and we learn and we don't even pay attention to the fact that our learning is going to make us exhausted for the next day. And we're not doing the juggling which is necessary. And if someone came to you 2 weeks before Shavuos and said, why don't you stay up all night and learn? You'd say, that's not a good juggling act. And on Shavuos, you say, I am only thinking Torah right now. Now is a time which is mikudash, and which is kadosh and miyuchad for total focus. The hanaz we have, the hanot which we have, to fight with the Yetzer Hara is twofolded. Physical hanas, lachem, oneg, simcha, and everything which surrounds that. Take away the avelos, take away the yirach momentarily. Total simcha, hanas, Torah. Take away the thorns. Take away all the thorns of today, of the path. To fight. And the second more significant hana is the hana of passion. Allow me to be a specialist. Allow me for once not to be complicated. For once not to be sophisticated. For once to put one thing on the table and only one thing on the table. Let me not be balanced for one day and be kol kulo passionate. And tomorrow, after Shavuos, we'll walk back into the process of balance and juggling and complexity. But right now, let's be passionate. That was what the Altar of Kelm was saying. He's saying, when you do, you want to get to a point when you create good habits, when you fight the Yetzer on his terms. We can't always be mindful, but we can always prepare ourselves for an avoda which is passionate, focused, hana. That's the simcha of our Kabbalas HaTorah today. Bezrat Hashem, Shvi Matzliach, to walking into this Shavuos and be able to push everything else which is on your plate aside, be able to be passionate, be able to taste the passion, to be able to appreciate the beauty of the path at this point and push away the thorns. And Bezrat Hashem, that will bring us to a Nitzchios, and the ultimate essential truth of Torah is Rav Hashem. Okay.